I have a buddy named Ray Briers, and he owns a company called The Pipe Yard Inc., INC.com. And if you have a project that needs carbon steel pipe, he stocks everything you need. New surplus, secondary, you name it, rat hole, mouse hole, conductor casing, pipe pile, sign pole, structural, road bores, dredging. If you're buying or selling, you got an abandoned pipeline, wherever, he'll buy it. ThePipeYardInc.com, 409-788-PIPE, 409-788-PIPE.
It's that time. Lock and load. The Michael Vary Show is on the air.
It is National Barbecue Month, and we celebrate by talking to barbecue pit masters and restaurant owners. If you have a suggestion, email it in. Email it to us through the website at michaelberryshow.com. Give us the name and phone number of the restaurant and the restaurant owner. And if you know them, send us the cell phone number so we can reach out. It's shocking to me how many folks make it difficult to get on the air. It's a great promotion for you, and we just want a tip or two. Just a tip. That's all we're asking for, Ramon. Just the tip. 713-212-5874 is the phone number. Michael Sambrooks owns the Pit Room in Montrose. We had him on a Friday in the morning, talked to him for probably an hour on the air. We got off, and we spent the afternoon together. He came to my house. We had cigars, and we've become friends ever since then. And he owns, I don't know, 50 restaurants. How many restaurants do you own now?
I only own three. Three and a bar.
Three and a bar. What are the other two?
Yeah, three restaurants. So I've got Candente, which is our Tex-Mex place.
That's pretentious.
Right by the Pit Room on Richmond.
That's a pretentious name.
Well, come on, man. It's a great name.
It is
great
Montrose.
Name. Yeah, it's Montrose.
Although Ramon says it's amazing.
You haven't been yet.
No, I said Ramon said it's amazing. I didn't say I said it's amazing. What's the other one?
1751 C and Bar. That's our high-end, chef-driven seafood restaurant.
Pretentious.
Heights off Heights Boulevard.
Heights and what?
It's Heights and across street. I'm drawing a blank. It's off Yale by the Walmart there, right before you get to I-10.
Oh, south of I-10. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I know. Right. It's where Starfish used to be.
Yes, exactly. We took over the old Starfish space.
Okay, yeah.
When they went down, and then we renovated a little bit and redid the concept.
And then the bar is at the Pit Room?
Yeah, the bar is attached to the Pit Room, so that's kind of our dive bar. It's called the Patio. We're actually going through a little bit of a remodel there, kind of clean that place up. But
all right, let's talk barbecue. Yeah, Pit Room is Montrose and Richmond. Richmond, about a block off Montrose?
So it's a block off. It's Richmond and Yoakum is the actual cross street, but it's two blocks down from Montrose.
Okay, so there's a lot of barbecue restaurants. You're in that space of kind of high-end, expensive, craft barbecue. There's a certain audience for that, right? This ain't the working man's barbecue. This is sort of food critic barbecue. I think that's fair to say. You wouldn't deny that. What separates you?
Well, I mean, I think we're here for the working man, too.
Oh, my God. Do you want me to call out the prices? Do you want me to go to your menu and start calling them? There will be
a riot. Hey, we're lower than Post.
This is not blue-collar barbecue.
A lot of the other craft barbecue.
What's that?
We still stay at a lower price point than most craft barbecue.
Well, that is probably true. That is probably true.
Yeah.
All right. So, first of all, y'all cook differently because you use a different kind of pit.
So we cook in two offset propane tanks. We use two 500-gallon propane tanks that we custom-built. And then we have one custom-built vertical cabinet smoker that's strictly for sausage.
And what are you using? What's your source? What fuel?
100% Post Oak. There's no gas assist. There's no fans. There's no electricity. It's 100% Post Oak.
Why do you use Post Oak?
We use dry Post Oak. Why do we use Post Oak? It's if you're going for a longer cook, especially for things like brisket, our brisket will cook for anywhere from 12 to 16 hours. You know,
Michael,
place, but it's a much more intense flavor. So, you know, you want the meat to come in contact with it for a much shorter period of time. Post Oak's the most mild. It's got like a mild, sweet, kind of smoky flavor, and it's really good for those long cooks because it doesn't get acrid and it doesn't have too intense of a flavor.
If you were to mix in any other wood in there, what would it be?
I like hickory. That's probably the step down from mesquite. I like hickory on ribs and stuff. If I'm going to go pork shoulder, like at home, I'll mix some pecan because that's more like a 6-8 hour cook, depending on how hot you're going. My favorite flavor would probably be pecan to mix in, but it's still harder to use.
Why?
It's again, it's just a more intense flavor. I know a lot of people that, the barbecue game, they'll mix a little bit of pecan with their post oak just to get a more complex smoke flavor. But, you know, here it's just too complicated to do that.
We got everything
cooking on one pit, so it's not like we can isolate our meats and all that.
How much you think you spend on post oak per month?
I mean, I know how much I do. It's, let's see, per week I spend almost $1,400. That's two deliveries of three cords twice a week.
How far away does it come from?
Oh, God, we switch sources so often. I don't know, to be honest with you. But it's coming out from somewhere in West Texas, I'm sure.
If you're telling people about buying their meats for their house, what's the most important mm-hmm. thing in buying your meat?
It depends on what cut. I mean, you're looking for, you always want to look for, I always buy prime. You just know that it's going to be graded the best, and you're going to get more intermuscular fat. So when you're looking at a brisket in the bag, flip it over, and if you see lots of white strains running through the grains of meat, compare that to the other ones. The one with the more fat is going to be the most flavor. And then on the top, if you got kind of a yellow, dirty fat compared to one that's like real clean, white, creamy-looking fat, you know that's going to be the better one when you're looking at a brisket. And then pick that brisket up and then kind of turn it a little bit. If it's nice and flexible, then you know you got a good, young brisket that's not going to be too tough.
Oof, I'm in the middle of a 48-hour fast right now. This is a little rough.
Why?
Well, what type of pork rib should people buy?
Well, it's hard to get the type of stuff that we get when it comes to pork rib, but Berkshire's the best. Berkshire, straight Berkshire breed's hard to find. I mean, it's even hard to find for me. Kind of the more boutique pork ribs are blended with other breeds. So we buy a Berkshire Duroc blend, which is fantastic. So they blend it with Duroc, I guess, for the size. Berkshire pigs run a little bit smaller, so I guess it's not as profitable for the people that are making the meat. So if you can, try to find a heritage breed pork. And HEB and other places, maybe Costco, carry some of that stuff. You can certainly get it online, too, if you search hard enough.
Hold on just a second, Michael. You're going to be there today?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. Stay there through the afternoon in case people want to come by.
All right, I'm here.
Where are you at? What's the address on Richmond?
1201 Richmond Avenue.
If you were describing yourself to people, how would you say you look?
Well, tall. Black hair, and I'm wearing a purple pit room shirt, so you can't really miss me. I'm gonna stand out.
How fat are you? Because I haven't seen you in a while.
Hey, I've lost weight.
Have you?
I've been working out and everything.
Oh, that makes you less interesting. That makes you less trustworthy as a pit master. Hold on.
You may cut me, man, but I'm going to wrap this chain around your head.
The Michael Berry Show.
Allied Outdoor Solutions has been a show sponsor of ours in our Houston flagship market for almost 20 years now. And it's been fun because they've gone from just a handful of folks to growing and growing and growing, doing beautiful backyard solutions to make your backyard, your front yard, your side yard, your front driveway look like a resort. And over the years, they've added Austin,
San Antonio, Dallas. And what the work they do, you can see it for yourself at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com or have them come do it for you. 844-846-1010. 844-846-1010.
Michael Sambrooks owns the Pit Room, 1204 Richmond, near Montrose. Michael, why do you think you got so much positive press coverage when you opened? Because you did. The media fell in love with what you were doing.
Whew, that's a good question. A lot of luck, I think. I don't know.
How much of that was the media all lives inside the loop, and at that time there wasn't any good... There wasn't much. There wasn't
that's
anything
what I was
new.
Gonna say.
Like the, you'd been at Good Company, and the media doesn't like restaurants that have been around for a long time, even if they're good at what they do. That's why you don't see reviews of restaurants that have been around a long time.
No, you're right. I mean, like the Houstons of the world. I still think that's one of the
solid.
Best restaurants. They don't see reviews of that. But yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think a lot of it's luck, and then I think. When we opened, we were kind of the first people to do one of the first people to do craft barbecue inside the loop. And I think that people were just people really wanted barbecue and they were just tired of driving for it. And so, they wanted us to be successful as badly as we did. So I think it just all fell together for us.
What do you think? What one meat do you think y'all do better than the rest of the meats you do?
Of our meats, my favorite is our sausage. We make all of our sausage in-house, and it's, stylistically.
You're not just
exactly
saying that because that's your highest profit margin, are you?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not, although it helps.
You make it in-house? What's your secret?
We make everything in-house, and it's all procedural. It's just effort. I mean, it's a three-day process for each one, and, we labored over those recipes for months and months and months. And they're just they have unique characteristics that you can't get in a commercially bought sausage. I mean, our jalapeno cheddar's got some heat to it, some real heat to it. Our venison is 70% venison, where most venison sausages have about 30% venison because they're scared of it tasting gamey and this, that, and the other. And we kind of decided, we don't care. We want it to taste like venison if it's going to be a venison sausage.
Does it taste gamey?
A little bit. It tastes like venison. I wouldn't call it gamey. It just tastes like venison.
Well, that's not a flavor. People that are used to the traditional beef flavor profile have this idea of venison, and it's not what it tastes. Listen, elk has a strong taste. You get into some of these, you start getting into game, it's going to have more of a gamey flavor, and you either like that or you don't.
Yeah, and we were willing to say, hey, look, if you like venison, try our venison. If you don't, you have two other options here that you can order. And but if we're going to do a venison, we're going to do it right. And so, I think it reminds a lot of people that that go hunting, kill their own deer, process their own sausage. It reminds them of something they would get if they made it themselves. So that's kind of what we're going for.
What's the name of the restaurant that used to be that is now Brenner's, but they moved to Timber Grove? Is it Rainbow Lodge. So
yeah,
you go there and they have like a wild game taster, and I'll dive in because it's all this different wild game, and some of that's a little hard for me to I'm just not used to it, but I want to eat it.
Yeah, because it's different.
You ever go there?
Tired of eating the same thing. I was actually talking to somebody about this the other day. I haven't been in about 9 years, and someone was telling me how good it still is.
It still is, and it's still one of the prettiest spots inside the Beltway in this city. It's the actual, especially if you sit out on the back and the water. It's like you're in a lot of places in Austin have that kind of look, but not as many places in Houston have that look and feel. That place is still rock solid. All right, so for folks that are barbecuing at home, what are your three tips that you always want to make sure you do to barbecue well? Let's start with brisket.
Start with brisket. Make sure you trim it well, and start with good quality meat. Good quality meat can make up for a lot of things during the cooking process. Buy the best quality meat that you can possibly buy. and heavy black pepper, and then make sure.
What does that mean, the best quality meat you always buy? Other than just costing more, what do you look
at? Again, USDA Prime, especially if you're going to the store, that's going to be the best indicator that you can go by. Look for prime briskets or, you know.
Is there a butcher in town whose stuff you love?
We don't really have a boutique butcher that I know of, to be honest. For me, I'm going to go to Central Market if I'm looking for something unique and talk to the butchers over there. But, you know, we get all our stuff through our meat vendors. So the other thing I was going to say is if you're, you know, call your favorite barbecue place and see if they'd be willing to, you know, buy a brisket for you. A lot of us will do that.
You do that?
Yeah,
you know,
we're going to get our hands on, well, I shouldn't have said that. we'll do that sometimes, occasionally.
All right. Yeah. So you buy the right brisket. So Ramon wants to know how much trimming you do. How much fat do you cut off the brisket?
So I leave about a quarter inch of fat on the top, and, you know, on the bottom, you just want to get that handle off. You know, we don't go too far in there, just get that big chunk off on the bottom. People who trim brisket don't know what I'm talking about. Leave about a quarter inch of fat. Fat's flavor, so, and that's going to insulate the meat as you're cooking it. So you don't want to take too much of it off, especially if you're going for a long, low and slow cook.
And then what do you rub on it?
For us, we use a little bit of mustard to get the rub kind of attached to it, and then salt and pepper. That's it.
And then you have a rule for how long to cook it?
There's no rule. You just
how do you know a brisket is done? When you look at a brisket, how do you know it's done?
Feel. I don't. It's well. Look plays a part in it too. But there's several different parts that you feel. You know, you start by kind of putting your finger on the top where the fat is on the fatty side, and if it kind of goes in and gives almost like warm butter, then you go and you put your finger under the bottom, and if you can kind of start to separate the grains of the meat with a little bit of ease and it feels soft, then it's probably done, and then you can stick a thermometer through the whole thing, and then when that resistance on that thermometer, more so than the temperature, kind of tells you if it's done, and then you can kind of pick it up and jiggle it. There's lots of different ways that you kind of test to see.
That's a very sexual description of brisket handling.
Huh?
That's a very sexual description of brisket handling.
I mean, what do you want from me? That's what we do. Very sexual.
I'm friends with your mom. I can't have you having sexual conversations about family-related brisket here. There's children listening, waiting to make brisket.
Yeah. Well, just don't tell her we talked about it.
Let me ask you this. I want you to tell me who else is doing great barbecue in town right now.
Rogel's. Truth Barbecue does a great
Russell
job.
Russ is our guest tomorrow. I love Russ. Russ Rogel.
Yeah, Russ is great. He's probably the best guy in barbecue. And then still my favorite, I went out to Old Town Spring. I don't know, does that count? I went to go to Corkscrew, but I forgot they were closed. And they're still my favorite. I looked at their pictures on Instagram, and I'm like, man, I need to get back out there.
I don't
there.
Mean to brag, but I had a lunch at Corkscrew with Lyle Lovett. I mean, I don't mean to brag, but you know.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
Who else?
Yeah. Gatlin's the original. Gatlin's is the original. They're still doing a great job. And there's lots of new guys. I don't know the names off the top of my head, but there's one in the Heights that's doing really well. I can't remember the name.
Theirs is real sweet. I know who it is. It's a big boy. God dog it. I know who you're talking
about. Yeah, he was an old firefighter or something.
Yep. He's a big boy. We're going to have him on. I cannot remember his name.
Okay, right. Yeah. Good people over there, and I'm sorry I forgot their name.
Michael, I'm up against a break. You'll be at 1204 Richmond until at least 3 o'clock today so people can come by and shake your hand?
Yep, 1201 Richmond.
All right. If they say they came from the Michael Berry Show, you got to buy them a beer.
All right, you got it. And
tell
people to try Candente right down the street, our Tex-Mex place.
He's cross-promoting here. That's the Pit Room on Richmond.
The Michael Berry Show.
Simple man.
Was Lemmy homo? You sure?
Oh, Judas Priest guy. What was his name? I know, I just escaped me. Couldn't think of Rainbow Lodge. Right? See, that's the worst thing, is that if I get the dementia, it will have been very public. I remember he couldn't remember what street he lived on. Remember he'd do it, and it got more and more common. Hatfield. Hatfield. Is it Rob Hatfield? Don't look it up. You gotta force yourself to remember. It's like when you gotta, huh? Halford, yeah. What did I say, Hatfield? So Michael Sandbrooks tells me our buddy Feegis is opening a place in Spring Branch. I don't think he's closing the Greenway, but he's opening in Spring Branch. I'll tell you this. Mark my words, for those of you out there who are looking to open a restaurant, I think that near west side is about ready to explode with retail. And I'm talking about from Spring Branch, from Chimney Rock / Wirt on 10 to the Beltway. And obviously beyond. But I'll tell you why I say that. So when... see, there again, I've just forgot. When Matt Bryce opened Federal American Grill last year, some of you will remember what happened. He opened, I bet he opened about February 15th or so, right? Mid-February, somewhere thereabouts. And he had the location at Shepherd and Washington. This was his second location. He's very nervous about it. He opens, and like 2 weeks later, the county orders the lockdown. So what people don't realize is when you open a restaurant, the startup costs are so high, you have to hire and train people before you ever open. So that's just pure outlay, and it's huge. You've got to go buy all this equipment. You've got to stock up a fridge, a bar, all these things before you ever start. All of your tenant improvements, all of your signage. You wouldn't believe how much people spend on signage. Your payment systems, your payroll process, all of this stuff. So he opens. 2 weeks later, the lockdown. 2 weeks into the lockdown, he said, I have to either close the restaurant for good and close my dream or reopen. And so we had him on. He reopened. The mayor's there. Agreed. People started calling the county, trying to get them to shut it. They called the city first to shut it down. The city said, we can't shut him down. He's not in the city. That's Hedwig Village. The mayor of Hedwig Village, Brian Mickey, said, nope, we're not shutting him down. And so the mayors of the villages all had dinner there the night that he opened to show that they were supporting him. And he reopened. And he did it safely. What, they weren't reckless about it. And when he did, it was, you know, people are so eager for businesses to take a stand and stop submitting to the left. People are so, there is a whole base of customers that is so eager for business owners to grow a spine and stop giving in to the complainers on the left. The Karens and the sissies and the race baiters and the whole lot of them. And so here was a guy who said, F you, I've been working too hard to get to this point. I'm reopening. And he did. We talked about it. The local news then talked about it. The national news then talked about it. And he has never slowed down since that moment. In fact, he just, mid-February, opened in Katy and hired our chef from the RCC, Andre. Pinkertons, that's who we were thinking. Was it Grant Pinkerton? I think that's the old boy's name. Yes, Grant Pinkerton, that's him. Yeah, seems like a good guy. I don't know him well. But put him on the list to talk to. Anyway, please don't interrupt. So that area, I have noticed, because I go to Federal American Grill a lot, that area has exploded. The Jonathan's the Rub has moved over to Campbell and I-10 in the corner there that used to be Pelly Pelly. Mass Raff's opened on I-10, a little further out from Federal American Grill. Levi Good redid the seafood, which you haven't been to, you should try. So the old Good Company seafood that was there, I don't know, what is that, Gessner? I don't know how far out that is, that had the Chris Craft inside. That building got torn down, and he moved one building closer to I-10 right there, and he did a whole different concept, but it's still all the seafood recipes. It's very cool. Then Good Company Cantina was ahead of the curve on that, and what used to be the old Mason Jar, and then you've got the Good Company Barbecue there. But that area is, I think that area is on the verge of exploding, and business owners would be very smart, because I have maintained for years that if you look around, there are too many high-quality restaurants in the Heights and Montrose to support. There just are. That's why they open and close, open and close. They open, all the food reviewers that live within 2 miles of there, because they're all 27-year-old single people, they drive over, they eat the food, they love it, they announce it's great, and for a couple of months, all the people from Memorial drive in and eat at those restaurants, right? It's all the restaurants along Westheimer, all the restaurants along Montrose. You know who they are, one after the other after the other. And same thing with the Heights. And so they everybody supports that restaurant, and then the people go back to where they live. Because the people eating there, there's not enough rooftops in Montrose and Midtown to support all the high-quality restaurants that are there. But none of the people want to leave the Loop, whereas that's where all the money's at. I can sit in the parking lot sit out on front, which is what I do, and smoke cigars at Federal American Grill, and you watch guys that make $200,000 a year that drive a $70,000 truck to get out in boots and their Wranglers with the creased up the back and their nice starched dress shirt, and they're taking their wife out for dinner or meeting their business clients, and that's as far in as they want to go is Campbell and I-10. And all those fancy restaurants don't want to come out there, but there's a huge market for it.
The Michael Berry Show.
Enjoy it.
Midnight at the Oasis. Send your camel to bed. Shadows painting our faces. Traces.
Biden administration looking at using outside contract firms to track and conduct surveillance on people they deem extremists in order to circumvent legal restrictions on the surveillance power of federal agencies like the Department of Homeland Security. The violations of your privacy that have occurred in the last 20 years should make you sick to your stomach, but for far too many people, they don't. Nobody ever steals that which is yours while wearing a badge for any reason other than to protect you. Just keep believing that. Just keep believing that your door's being kicked down or your computer is being surveilled, or that your emails are being read, or that your phone is being tapped to keep you safe. Just keep believing that and be a patriot and support the Patriot Act. Because the very same people who want wide open borders so terrorists can walk across the border and blow you up want to read your emails and pilfer your computer browsing history and listen in on your phone calls to keep you safe. Because if you're not doing anything wrong, what do you have to worry about? I say we put in a curfew. Nothing good happening after 10 o'clock. That's what my mom always said. Right? Nothing good happening after 10 o'clock. Curfew for everybody. If you're not doing anything wrong, then why do you have a problem? What are you wanting to do after 10 o'clock? You need to be home in bed. Early to bed, early to rise. What are you doing out late? The game's over. We'll start the sports events earlier. You can get home earlier. You don't need to be out that late. Nothing good happening. Could be drunk drivers. Could be crime. Get you home in bed and locked inside that prison sooner, earlier. Don't be out late. You don't need to be out late. In fact, you don't need to be on your computer that late. Ain't no surfing you're doing that late that's good. Mm-mm. No, sir. Stores don't need to be open. You don't need to be buying things that late. Nothing you're buying you need that late. You can do it in daylight at noon. You don't need that much freedom. You can't handle that much freedom. It's too much freedom. Too much freedom, I tell you. Bad things are happening. It's all for your own safety and for your own good. Think how many drunk driving accidents will reduce. Think of all the bad things that happen late at night. The scary thing, there are people actually, you know what? Now you're on to something, Michael. I thought you were a little bit Philistine before. Yeah, libertine. Yes, this is a good idea. This is a good idea. Lock it all down. In fact, may everybody's computer should be open to everybody else looking at it if you're not doing anything wrong. You don't really need privacy. Privacy is overrated. Privacy is for people that are doing bad things. Warren Buffett's number two at Berkshire Hathaway this weekend said he doesn't like cryptocurrency because that's what kidnappers and terrorists use. Yeah. We don't need an alternate to the system that he benefits from. Cryptocurrency. It just sounds scary. We don't need that much freedom. We don't need alternate payment forms, currency forms. Dollar bill's good enough for everybody else, except we don't really want you using a dollar bill because then we can't measure how much commerce is being conducted that we didn't get to tax. We'll put it all on the credit payment systems, and we'll subsidize them and regulate them and control them. And that way, when Nancy Pelosi needs to see who's doing what, or Harry Reid or Chuck Schumer, they'll just go into the government system and check and see how much you've spent on this or that. Yeah, make sure you're declaring everything, right? We want to know every penny you've earned and every penny you've spent. We want to track everywhere you go at all times. And I don't know why you would have a problem with that unless you're doing something wrong. We'll put checkpoints on every street. We'll rotate them around. We'll stop every person at all times. Just a couple of questions. Maybe flash the light in your eyes. Make sure you haven't been drinking, because that we can't allow either. We'll just ask you where you're going, where you're coming from, and what you're up to. If you're not doing anything wrong, I can't imagine you have a problem with it. This whole concept of privacy is how bad people thrive and flourish. If we could choose between privacy and safety, why, we'd all want safety, right? We all want to be kept safe from the extremists among us. And we know that people who voted for Trump are extremists. People who voted for Trump are criminals. And we found that a lot of those people are on freedom websites, liberty websites, Constitution websites. You should be very afraid of the people who are going online to read the Constitution. It's like the old Catholic Church. We'll conduct these services in Latin. You don't need to be reading the Constitution. Can't nothing good come out of you reading the Constitution except you getting hold of that Second Amendment. And we all know that the time it takes for you to read the Second Amendment and then start buying guns has been shaved off to far too low. We're never going to end the gun violence in this country unless you stop reading that Second Amendment. So we're just going to track any site that has the Constitution on it. And wherever you came from and wherever you go, after you search the Constitution, we're going to check. The last thing we want is you looking up guns. Guns. First, we'll rid the people of the guns. And then we'll rid the people of their ability to push back when we come into their homes with no warrant, no knock raids, and look through everything they have. Because I'm still not sure how many of you were at that January 6th rally, but if you voted for Trump, there's a good chance you did. So we're going to kick down your door and just make sure you don't have any contraband. You don't have a problem with that, do you? See, privacy is for people who are up to no good. Privacy's overrated. We want to be safe. And we're really not safe unless we're checking everybody at all times. Make sure they're not up to no good. because there's extremism among us. And what happened on January 6th was a terror attack the likes of which humanity has never seen before, and we have to root it out. We've got people out there with flags flying out front. We'll go to them first. And then the trucks, people with trucks. And then we'll review the database of gun owners. We'll start with the silencer buyers. You don't need a silencer. You're not in a James Bond movie. And then we'll move to the AR-15s, you know, the assault weapons. Because that's not for shooting deer. That's for nefarious, surreptitious activities. And eventually, we'll get to you. And if you pass the test, then you'll be safe. Ah, safety and security. Don't you feel better already?
Allied Outdoor Solutions has been a show sponsor of ours in our Houston flagship market for almost 20 years now. And it's been fun because they've gone from just a handful of folks to growing and growing and growing, doing beautiful backyard solutions to make your backyard, your front yard, your side yard, your front driveway look like a resort. And over the years, they've added Austin, San Antonio, Dallas. And what the work they do, you can see it for yourself at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com or have them come do it for you. 844-846-1010. 844-846-1010.